Good evening, everyone. It's so good to see everyone out this evening. It's not a better way to start the week than being here this evening. It's been a beautiful day. It's good we have visitors with us. The singing was beautiful. It's beautiful because of the messages that we are singing to our Heavenly Father and to each other. I want to talk for a few minutes this evening about Moses. A couple weeks ago, I did a sermon on Abraham, and I want to do several lessons on Sunday evening on different characters just to help us learn some lessons from them. And I find it interesting, too, with Moses, as we've been going through the history and geography of the Bible, seeing what Egypt was like, I have a new appreciation for it. And we might not think about it, but when Moses was there, it was one of the most advanced civilizations that there was. This photo in the upper left-hand corner is a golden burial mask, a funeral mask. So many of the things that they had because of their riches, they made out of gold. The lower right-hand corner is a throne made out of gold. On the bottom left is one of the buildings in honor to some of their gods, these huge structures. And of course, the pyramids that still are a marvel today. And a lot of times, we just see a picture of this pyramid sticking up in the sand, and we don't realize that there was all kinds of cities and structures buried underneath that hasn't been excavated. This is just a back shot of what was there when it was uncovered in front of the pyramid. So Moses was born in a unique time. I guess we could say we all are, but he was one of God's great men, a man of faith, and we want to look at his faith. And as we talked about this morning, the need to grow up, to be mature, and in order to do that, we have to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we need to understand how these men had faith and how they developed it. So our text is going to be from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Moses, such an amazing man, born during this time of great advancement. And the Egyptians did not believe in God. So you have Moses standing out as a man that had faith in this this nation, this empire that believed in many, many different gods, gods for everything, gods that would not accept the true God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we want to be men of faith. We want to be women of faith. We want to please God. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to build our faith, we need to learn more of these accounts that God had recorded for us, of these men that had faith, so we can develop that faith in our lives. We take a look at Moses, how he lived, so that we can take those things, those characteristics, which got him listed in the Hall of Faith. Moses is one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament. So I want us, though, to focus on a few passages from the New Testament to help us understand this man from Hebrews. But the story of faith begins with his parents. You know, during the time of the birth of Moses, we learn from Exodus 1:22 that Pharaoh commanded, every son that is born shall be cast into the river. Pharaoh wanted every male killed. The Israelites were growing. He was afraid that they would take over the Egyptians. He commanded everyone to be killed. To disobey would have been serious consequences for Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. But they disobeyed anyway. They were going to do what was right. And they hid him, most likely in their own house, for the space of 3 months. And you just stop and think about that. We had so many things we just read over. But you think about somebody having a baby. We know people that are expecting a baby. And what's the first thing that they do when the baby's born? They tell everybody. They let everybody know, our baby is born. Our baby is here. They want the whole world to know that the baby is born. But what do Moses' parents have to do? They hide their baby. They cannot let it be known that Moses is born, or they might be put to death. Not only could they not tell anybody that he was born, but they had to keep his existence a secret. And here we have a principle I think that's important to understand. God expects man to do everything that he can for himself. And not until man does all that he can do, then God will step in and fill the gap. So Moses' parents had to do everything that they could to protect their child. When they did that, then what happens? We know the rest of the story. He's put out and Pharaoh's daughter finds him, not by accident, but we see how that unfolds. But we must do everything that we can for ourselves. We're told to pray for our daily bread. We don't sit at the table and wait for it to fall out of the sky. God expects us to work hard for it, and to do everything within our power to accomplish what we are praying for. Amram and Jochebed did all they could to save Moses, and then they trusted in God to step in and fill the gap. And as we go through this story of Moses, I think that we will see one of the reasons that he had the faith that he did was because of the faith of his parents. His parents trusted in God. So when they could no longer protect Moses, they made an ark to place him in. And then they placed that in a location where he would be found, according to Exodus 2 and verse 3. So by the providence of God, Moses was not only saved from death, but he was raised in a position of privilege. He was instructed in the wisdom of the Egyptians and was honored as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So if we serve God, does that mean that we're going to be put in a position like that? No matter what position we are in, high or low, we serve God. But again, we see the faith of his parents is instilled in Moses. And you think about this, of all the people that could have found Moses, and of all the things that could happen to him, we see the hand of God We see the providence of God working in Moses' life. And do we stop and reflect and just think we can see God's providence working in our lives? It works just the same in our lives as it did in his. We don't have somebody recording what happens, but we know that God providentially does things for us, brings us together, introduces us to people. You know, Nat, it's so good to see you here this evening. And I know the first time we started meeting, we met each other, we started asking each other questions. What do you think about this verse? What do you think about that verse? And we had a lot of Bible discussions. Did I meet him by accident? Did he meet me by accident? I don't think so. God brought us together, and he does that with everybody. But we see the faith from his parents helped get Moses started, and Moses kept that faith. And again, you just stop and think about this baby that his parents were afraid were going to be put to death. He is growing up in a palace where Pharaoh's daughter, or looking at the daughter of Pharaoh, the father would have been sitting on a gold throne like this, ruling this empire. Moses could have had anything that he wanted, anything. He could have had everything that he wanted, but he gave up some things. Moses gave up a position of status and power. Now, is status and power wrong? No, not in and of themselves. But Moses went on to have 100 times the status and power as the leader of God's chosen people. He gave up a position of ungodly and worldly status and power. And I'm convinced and persuaded that he did that in part because of the faith of his parents and his sister that helped raise him. Moses did not want the honor and the luxuries of a corrupt, idolatrous society. And, you know, when I think of Moses, I think of Joseph. I think of Joseph when he was in a strange land, and he was not going to give in to the temptations. And when he could have had Potiphar's wife, and he didn't, because he knew it was wrong. And how did he know it was wrong? It wasn't because of the Ten Commandments. It wasn't because of the Sermon on the Mount. It was back in Genesis, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, the marriage law from the beginning. Joseph knew that, and he knew to break that law would be sinning against God. Moses, what did he give up? He gave up the passing pleasure of sin. Is sin pleasurable? It is. And we need to be honest with young people about that. If you tell a teenage boy that there's no pleasure in illicit sexual acts, then they're going to wonder, I wonder what else he's lying to me about. There is pleasure in that. You tell a teenage girl or young woman that there's no pleasure in wearing tight blouses, tight skin-fitting clothes that draw a man's eyes to her and make them linger to do her bidding, she's going to wonder, what else are you lying about? There's pleasure in sin. But Moses understood it was the passing pleasure of sin. The pleasure of sin just lasts for the moment. And then you have the price to pay for it. And he looked forward to greater, something with greater riches. And when we think about Abraham, and he looked forward to that city whose builder and founder was, the city was not made with hands of man, we need to look forward to something else. Is sin pleasurable? Yes, sin is pleasurable. But we need to learn from Moses, we got to look past the pleasure of the moment to this eternal, everlasting pleasure. What did Moses give up? He gave up riches. How were his riches described? The treasures of Egypt. Moses could have had anything he wanted. Anything, everything. Unfortunately, we live with that same temptation today because we live in America. Does that mean we have a bank full of money to buy whatever we want? No, but the problem we have is probably just about all of us have this little plastic card in our pocket where we can get credit and we can get whatever we want. Moses could have had anything he wanted. People today can have anything that they want, and unfortunately they make wrong choices, like we were talking about this morning with all of those boxes. They aren't choosing the best choice, they're choosing something less than that. But there's almost nothing that we can't have. But Moses gave up riches. He realized that riches are not the ultimate goal. He realized the cost of riches. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures of Egypt. And friends, we live in a society that tells children, or they used to, I don't know if they still do today or not, but get a good education, get a good job, make lots of money, make more money, get a better job. And then they get on that rat race trying to climb the ladder, and I got to work more hours. I want this promotion. I've got to do this. And what's happening all the time? They give up serving God. They put the things of the world above God, the creator of the world. And these little trinkets that sparkle and catch our attention, and oh, I want to get this, and I want to get that, and I want to go here, and I deserve some time for this and that. And then what happens with God? We leave him out of the picture. What did Moses choose? He chose to endure ill treatment. He understood the difference between pleasure for the moment compared to pleasure for an eternity. He was fully convinced that ill treatment for a season would gain him joy forever. Friends, we don't know what's coming in this country. Even if we are persecuted like they were in the first century Christians gave their life for Christ because they knew that reward that was waiting for them. We are to be faithful unto death, and to the point of death. We are to endure. And friends, when we do that, and then when we die, soon as we die, all of that suffering, all of that pain, all of that memory, it's not going to exist anymore. And when we die in the Lord, and then we are escorted by the angels into paradise, all of that suffering and pain is not going to mean a thing. Yet so many people will sell their souls because they don't want to speak up for God. They don't want to speak up for Christ. I want to do this. I don't want to do that. Moses understood that our present light afflictions, which are but for a moment, serve to work out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So do we want to sell our eternity for short-term pleasure? Many people do. So what ill treatment am I enduring today? Friends, we aren't faced with that much today. We talk about it, but we aren't faced with it, and people give up just talking about it. But what did Moses choose? He chose to be included with the despised people. And you think about all the glory and honor that he could have, being in Pharaoh's court. And again, at that time, the Egyptians were the most educated, the most powerful, influential nation on the earth. And the Hebrews were the most oppressed and degraded. So Moses knew the long-term consequences of short-term actions. But again, it's the pride of life. Satan will tempt us. What did he choose? He chose the reward of Christ. By faith, he looked forward to the great and final reward, the true and abiding pleasure of heaven, the rest which waits for the people of God. And as I was talking about this morning, when we grow up and mature and we love God, this should be on the front of our mind all the time. The true and abiding pleasure of heaven, the rest which waits for the people of God, because we're going to be in His presence. And with this mindset, it will help us to deal with the things of the world, to put them in proper perspective. And when we love God more than anything else, it's real easy to make a choice. But when we only love God a little bit, we're going to be like in tug of war, back and forth. Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Well, what was the motivation? What was the driving force? What was the power behind the reason that Moses gave up these great influences in his life? And what's the driving force, the motivation, and the power behind the three great choices that he made in his life? Hopefully, it's the same motivation as in our life. It's our faith. We must live by faith. We must walk by faith. Not in the things that we see, but in the unseen. Notice in verse 23, by faith he was protected. Verse 24, by faith he refused. Verse 27, by faith he left. Verse 28, by faith he worshipped. Verse 29, by faith he was delivered, he was saved. And it was not faith in himself. It was not faith in his abilities. It was not faith in his families. Not faith in his possessions. It was faith in God. Friends, where do we have our faith today? Where do we have it? We need to have it in God. It's faith is not just believing. It's not just some mental assent. It's action. And that action can be scary. Because you see, God is going to test us. So what if we went on a trip to the Dayton Airport and we're going to go on a flight over to Europe and you started going down the runway and the captain comes on the intercom and he says, we've been having some problems with the engine and we did some work and we replaced the engine and when we take off and if we land and if things work out, we're going to know if what we did worked or not. We'd be running down to get off that plane as fast as we could. But you see, you aren't going to know how something holds up until what? Until it's tested. Until it's tested. And friends, God is going to test us. He's going to test us with some things that aren't normal, that aren't expected. Some things that we don't like. We don't like to feel this way. We don't like for God to take this away. We don't like for God to put us in this situation. But that's how He tests us. And when we come through that test, our faith is stronger. And friends, that faith is going to carry us to heaven. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what's a couple lessons we need to learn from Moses? We need to choose Jehovah. Above all else, we need to choose God. We need to have faith. We've looked here at some major events in the life of Moses. All were accomplished by faith. So what role does faith play in my life? What role does it play in your life? It should be the motivator, the driving force, the reason behind we do what we do. And as we go through, do we share that faith with others? Do we explain it with others that come in contact with us? Also, when God tests our faith, that He teaches us to trust in Him, the next time He tests us, the test is going to be a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging. Remember when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and how did they do that? They got to the Red Sea, and Moses parted the waters. The Israelites went through on dry land. And then God caused the waters to come back and destroy the army of Pharaoh. Now when the Israelites were going to cross into the land of Canaan and they were crossing the Jordan River during the flood season, which would have covered a wide area, it would have been a dangerous place, how did the Israelites cross? Did Joshua stand up and part the Jordan River? No, they had to step out into the water. And then God caused the water to part and the ground to become dry. So I want us to think about that along with Moses and something that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the account of Moses leading the Israelites through the Red Sea is held up as a type of baptism because they were surrounded by water. Water on both sides and the cloud over top of them. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that this deliverance was a type of baptism. They were buried in water. They were immersed in water. They were surrounded by water. The cloud of water was over them. Walls of water all around them. And how were they saved? They were saved by faith. They were saved by faith. Was it faith only? Not at all. If they got to the Red Sea and looked around and saw Pharaoh's army coming and said, I believe I'm going to be saved, would they have been saved? Wouldn't have happened. What did they have to do? They had to get in the water. They had to get in that Red Sea. They had to get into the water. Now today, can we sit here and say, I believe, I have faith that God's going to save me, and look at that baptistry and say, I believe God has saved me. I know He saved me. I believe it. I've got faith in that. Is that going to save us? No. What do we have to do? We have to get in that water. With faith, there's action. There's action. When the Israelites got into the Red Sea, were they saved at that point? No. Even though they got into the water, they still weren't saved. What did they have to do? They had to come up on the other side. There's so many lessons in here about faith that are just plain simple lessons. When we get into the baptistry, when we are immersed, are we saved at that point? No, we've got to come up, come out, and walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. So, one other point to make about Moses and this water. And another person that we learn about his faith in water being Noah. And the point is that the same water that saves us can also condemn us. When you think back to Moses, it saved the Israelites that were obedient. It destroyed Pharaoh's army. When you think of the time of Noah and the flood, it saved Noah and his family. It destroyed the whole world. And how were they saved? Again, they were saved by faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How strong is our faith? I'll tell you, one way we can test it is to look at our children. Now, this isn't a guarantee, but are we living the kind of faith that we are going to instill it in our children so that they are going to want to do right when we are not around? Just like the faith of Joseph, the faith of Moses. Are we willing to give up the things that Moses gave up? The position of status and power, the passing pleasure of sin, give up riches, Are we willing to choose ill treatment, to be included with the despised people? Are we willing to choose the reward of Christ, or are we going to sell our soul for the trinkets of this world? Friends, we need to choose Jehovah. We need to have faith. We need to look to Moses and some of these other characters that are left for us as a record, that we might emulate them, study them, take the traits that they had and put in our life, and do everything that we can, just as they did, to draw closer to God each day. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that has sin in your life, you need to make correction in your life. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.